Blog Talk Radio.
All right. All right, all right, all right, everybody, and welcome to Stevie and the Boys. We have a great, great, great show for you tonight. Everybody just sit back, relax, get ready for some motivation, conversation, music, laughter, and a whole lot of fun. Our topic tonight for our fire hot topic is, what if everything you thought you knew about relationship was wrong? So we're going to dive into that. So get set, ready, let's go. Stevie and the Boys, here we go.
Welcome to Stevie and the Boys with Crystal, Stevie Booker, George, Bucket Boy, Holman, Roger Hawkins, and Nene Acosta. Coming live and direct to YouTube, Facebook, iHeartRadio, Blog Talk Radio, and Apple Podcasts. Bringing you hot topics, interviews, live entertainment, and fun. Every Wednesday night, 11 p.m. Eastern, 10 p.m. Central. And now, prepare to get charged up with a whole lot of fun from Phoebe and the Boys.
All right. And welcome back. How is everyone doing? Got my whole crew in the building. The fabulous Miss Nene Acosta.
Hello.
Mr. Roger Hawkins. George Barker Boy Holman. Word up, team. How's everybody doing today?
Hey.
Good.
It's been a great week so far.
Awesome. Great. Just think, we're going to be in Florida in about, what, 3 weeks?
Ready to set sail on
Royal Caribbean on our first annual CB and the Boys cruise. How exciting is that? Like, whoa, we're going to be on a cruise. I'm on a boat, motherfucker, I'm on a boat. Yes, excited.
Just don't say that to the captain. He might throw us over.
I know.
I think it's actually 33 days or something like that. I only know because I had to get on my account today. So, yep, somewhere in there, like 33 days or something like that.
Okay. Special hello to Troy Hampton. Troy Hampton just logged in. Hello. Welcome.
Okay. What's up, family?
Okay. Welcome.
Glad you're here. So it's Wednesday already.
Sure,
everybody's feeling
bro.
Good. Looks good.
Yes.
That was jerking. That was good. You know, I think the whole weather changing thing is getting to people. Now, I don't know about where everybody else is respectively, but I mean, it's been like pushing 80 everywhere, the Midwest, out here on the West Coast. Mimi, how y'all looking? I mean, right
yes,
now,
it was like
I think
70 something
happy.
Today.
Yeah,
I'm ecstatic. I can't wait until it sticks. It's got to stick for me to be totally happy. Right now, I'm just enjoying the, you know, when it comes, you take advantage of it, you know?
Yeah, no doubt. Okay, yeah. I think we're close, you know, out here. If you make it through February, it's March. You're in pretty good shape. with this window down weather right now, which won't last long, because I tell people all the time, you come here, this shit goes 60, 70, 90. And so 80 hangs around like a weekend pass in Vegas. So, you know, we better take this while we can.
Yeah.
No doubt. So, yeah, but otherwise, it's been a great week for me so far. Even, you know, work and everything is cool. So, everybody here is looking all delicious for whatever reason on a damn Wednesday. I might become a jealous husband. Girl, what you got your hair done for? I'm going to show up to your job in some footies, some pajamas, and a hair curly. Looking at you crazy.
And I'm going to be like,
My boo, he's just
guys,
checking on
just,
me. He's
this is just
room.
My husband. This is how we do it. He shows up wherever I'm at, and we just do that.
Right.
Don't embarrass my ass, because I will embarrass your ass, too.
I have a bag of chicken fingers in my pocket and shit. That's cool, though. Roll with it. So what's the word, girl? Talk to me. She'd be over there looking like, you know, like your dog ran away. I know you got your hair did. Now, what's his name? What's your dude's name? Francois, Pierre, what the hell's your boy's name? He got you right. Do flicky.
Oh, shit. See, I'm not the only one glowing.
Mm-hmm. Damn. You know that I keep, let's see, you wonder why I pick on y'all. It shows up on, I ain't gonna say nothing. I ain't even gonna start in on my light skins, baby. But ooh, it shows up on y'all. Is that rouge you're wearing, or is that a little bit of blush? I mean, I'm just asking. Yeah, I'm not. Yep. Tighten it up. Well, I know that. I'm hoping Bigo can hear you.
Right, because we can't.
We can't hear you, CB.
Now we can hear you. Wait a minute, did you say something? Say it again.
Nah, that was me.
Yeah, no, she hasn't said anything.
No, she said a lot.
Oh, my God.
She's been talking. See, she muted
are.
Herself.
Rewind. You
that
messed up the jokes and
all,
shit and everything.
Don't be having a Clinton moment on us, okay?
Because if you got that much conversation and you ain't looked at the screen long enough to see that we are all talking at the same time you talking, then we probably can't hear you.
She got something to say, though, dog. No, it was in her spurt. Whatever she was saying was all up in her chest and shit. It was in her spurt. All right, it's cool.
Oh, wait a minute. Hold on. Let me throw this out there just for 1 second right quick. Bam!
Right. The most,
okay, we
the
met.
Most used banner we've got. Oh my God,
that is so crazy.
Hey there, how are you?
How can I mute myself?
Like that?
Yeah,
you did that. So guys, look, before we get into the whole party scene on this evening, I just want to take a couple of seconds to kind of like really put out my condolences to the family, friends, and all of us fans and coworkers and everything else to the Atlanta radio veteran and legend Silas Simon Baby Alexander, who passed of pancreatic cancer on yesterday. So he was a familiar voice on V103 here in Atlanta, Kiss 104.1, Classic Soul 102.5, and Magic 97.5, 107.5 FM for 3 decades. So
wow.
He was a regular presence also in like a ton of parties and events throughout the city, and hosted, you know, a ton of shows as well. So that was like, that was our guy here in Georgia, and he's no longer with us, so... I kind of like posted it up on my social media because I had the, you know, the pleasure of working with him on a music video last April. So it's going to be almost a year since we had worked together. And so my condolences to family and everyone out there.
Yeah, definitely. Rest in peace, man. It's weird when you have people that hang around that long, they become a fixture in your life and
yeah.
in your weekend, things like that. And we almost forget that, you know, radio and TV personalities are human, and, you know, we've all got
yeah.
to go. So,
yes,
but
and it's interesting because a couple months ago, his brother and himself did a podcast on awareness, you know, pancreatic cancer. It does happen. Sure. And, you know, of course, you know, they both are big names here. So, of course, a lot of people listen. So it's like, you know, a little while after the podcast, his brother passed away. And now he's passed away. So it's just
oh wow.
It's just bad across the board for family and, you know, us here in Atlanta. When I heard it on the news today, I had not really, like, paid attention to TV the last 2 days. I've been doing some work. And when I saw the news today and I saw it, I was like, how did I miss that? You know, but,
right.
Yeah, it just goes to say, you know, today, tomorrow is not promised. So we just have to enjoy each other,
no doubt.
You know.
No doubt.
Till the wheels fall off, so, yeah.
That's what you got to do with your life, with your body, with everything. Drive it like you stole it. I tell everybody.
Yes.
When I get to the morgue, I want them to look at me and go, shh.
Yes, that's right.
Yeah.
That's right.
Drive it like you stole it. You don't get to take it with you. Anything. Money, not your physical being, nothing. So use it up. Use it up. That's the truth. But RIP to that gentleman.
Man. Yes.
Our condolences to his family, friends, and coworkers, without a doubt. Also, we want to have a moment of silence for all the people in Ukraine who are, as you guys know, you know, this kind of is a good segue into our world event, but Russia recently invaded Ukraine. And I wanted to put it kind of into language that people can understand so that they would understand, like, what exactly is going on. So basically, with Ukraine and Russia, they had a really toxic relationship. So in 1991, you know, it's like, you know, Ukraine did everything for Russia, you know. She let her use his car, let him use her car. She fed him, gave him money, you know, pretty much let him have his freedom, let him do whatever he wanted to do. Until in 1991, she decided, you know, I've had enough. You know, I'm done with this. I'm going to go do me. And so she broke free. She got out of the toxic relationship. And, you know, for the last 30 years, you know, she's just been doing her, flourishing, growing, establishing new friendships. And, you know, of course she had her girls to, you know, be by her side, her friends, you know, America, France, Poland. You know, they were all, you know, we got you can do this. So they uplifted her and gave her encouragement and all of the good things, you know, because everybody can, you know, when you get out of a toxic relationship, you got to have your girls, you got to have your friends around you, right? So her friends rallied around her and helped her and were there for her, loaned her money, you know, helped her, you know, just molded her into the woman that you see now. So after a while, so for the last 30 years, you know, your family has just been thriving, growing, doing her, doing what she felt she needed to do. And now, all of a sudden, Russia, being the toxic ex that it is, started, you know, stalking Ukraine. And, you know, 30 years later, you know, if that gives you any inkling of how toxic Russia is. So he started stalking Ukraine, you know, parking outside Ukraine's house, you know. And so when Ukraine's friends got wind of this, you know, they confronted Russia. They're like, yo, what are you doing? Why are you sitting outside her house? Like, Russia said, hey, you know, I'm just getting some exercise in. I'm just chilling. I'm not doing anything. You know, yeah, I'm on the border. So what? It's an open border. So what? It's all good. I'm not doing anything. So, of course, you know, her girls had her back, and they didn't believe not a word. So they went back to Ukraine, they told Ukraine, hey, you know, it looks like Russia's planning to do something to you, so just be prepared, be careful, protect yourself. And Ukraine was like, well, you know, it's been 30 years, why would he do something now? You know, that's everybody's thought, like, why now? And so Ukraine decided just to ask Russia straight up, like, yo, why are you parked in front of my house? Why are you at our border? What are you doing? What are you up to? And once again, Russia lied, like, oh, I'm not doing anything. Your friends, they're lying to you. They're just jealous. They don't care about you. They're lying. And so we train, went back to her friends and said, hey, guys, let's just say that, you know, he's not going to do anything, that it's all good. He's just, you know, just chilling. Nothing's going to happen. Until it did. So as we know, Russia recently invaded Ukraine. So Russia broke into Ukraine's house, beat her up, took advantage of her, not just assaulted her, but also assaulted her family, friends, anyone associated with her, and made a threat to her friends and double dog dared them if they want to interfere in what she said he's got something for them too. So basically, to sum it up, and I put that in terms we can all understand, this toxic relationship between Russia and Ukraine, and just a moment of silence for the people of Ukraine who are thrust into this unprovoked war. It's crazy. The whole thing is just crazy. So just, you know, we stand in solidarity with the people of Ukraine. And everyone, just, you know, send them all your love and all your thoughts and all your prayers. You know, because it's just, it's a messed up situation. And it doesn't look like it's going to get any better. We hope that it does. But, you know, if this is what World War III looks like, then we're in for a long haul, because I don't think either side is going to back down.
I'm just sad for the people that can't get out. That's kind of like where I'm at with it, because at the end of the day, war is going to be war. You know, it's in the Bible. It's like these times, we knew they were coming. We just didn't know what happened now. You know, but, you know, I've been listening to some of the students out there, especially, like, you know, some of our females out there, and it's just really, like, it's hard for them, you know. They're, like, you know, trying to get out to other cities and reaching out to families, and, you know, they're from Nigeria, and they're stuck, you know, nothing except just the clothes in their back, and some with their passports and some not. It's just, the whole thing is just really bad, you know. And that whole situation with the train taking off without the African-Americans, like, I had to get away from it, because it really does affect me. And then I'm the one that will get on my social media blasting stuff. So I was like, let me kind of, like, you know, drift off for a second and just, you know, get in prayer, you know, for the people out there, you know. But it's really bad, you know, just to see the place just go up and to attack the airport. That's kind of, like, really deep. That means ain't nobody getting out, you know. So the whole situation is sad all the way around.
I was talking with some people. I was talking with a good friend of mine today, and some other people about, you know, there have been lots of different takes on what's happening in terms of who gets to the goal, who doesn't, et cetera. There are a lot of people saying, hey, you know, they're not letting black people out. They're keeping them off trains, et cetera, et cetera. And then there are individuals saying that, no, it's just women and children that go first. So I'm not sure, you know, I'm trying to wait for the whole story to come in, because oftentimes we make knee-jerk reactions and jump to conclusions, and then things change. I do feel like, obviously, I understand the whole women and children situation first, because it's been like that historically. But at the same time, I don't think that anybody should be, you know, held at gunpoint or physically restrained if they need to get out.
Yeah.
And once again, it seems like one particular group gets the short end of the stick, especially if you're not nationalized or whatever. On the flip side, what I will say, don't know much about the country and things like that other than certain public figures. I give them a lot of credit for having the balls to say, you know what, if I have to go down, I'm going down with the ship. I'm going to stay. I'm going to fight. I respect that part of it. As far as, you know, the help and things like that, I've said it before, and I believe that with Russia kind of playing the role of the school bully, I do feel like, unfortunately, they're going to have help. The Ukraine's going to have help from outside allies, i.e., you know, I suppose America and whoever else is part of that. Now, here's my caveat. If it really is a situation where they're being, you know, they're racially profiling and doing things like that, and my thought is, sure, America, you need to help slay the dragon, but since they don't have any regard for people of color shouldn't go fight. I'm not fighting for somebody else who doesn't care about me. you know, that's not my backyard, and it's only fair. Now, I know that probably bothers people because people are going, oh, well, that's not right. You know, you should look out for your fellow human being. Remember that shit when you turn around and look at someone who resembles me. When you do it, I'll do it. That's my thought. I'm not, and that's just, it's just a sad truth. I believe in, I'm always a champion for the underdog. But the problem is, if the underdog turns around and bites me, what the hell, how does that make me look? So I think we, it's always kind of a double-edged sword for certain people when it comes to choosing sides. Yeah, I hate to see that. I hate to see it for anybody. But you just said it. Historically, it is the nature of the world. You know, no advances can be made without, you know, major bloodshed and setback. So for that, like I said, I give them all respect for sticking around. The president states that I'm not leaving, getting my family out. I respect all of that. I really, really do. You know, you've got to, if you don't stand for something, you know, that's the thing. If you don't stand for something, you'll fall for anything. And so I respect it. But if it involves me, and I see how I'm being treated. No, think about how, you know, it was for black people coming home from World War II and Nam and things like that. You're a hero when you're fighting for this particular flag, and then you come home and you get treated worse than animals. So, where the hell should patriotism be? You know, you know, I'm loyal to those who are loyal to me. And you know, I know there are a lot of different schools of thought on that. And for the people that say, well, go back or don't stay, you know, tell yourself. Because, again, we are victims of our circumstances, not of our choosing. And one of the only ones. But that's, you know, that's a whole different setup. So, yeah, my heart goes out to those people. And I think about, what's his name, Klitschko, the heavyweight champion. And they've had quite a few celebrities who, as they call it, traded in their, you know, ceremonial garb and took up, you know, arms and put the uniform on. Hey, big ups to you guys. I respect the hell out of that. I really do. If someone actually came to this country and did the same thing, which is just about, I'm not going to say never or impossible, but when was the last time this country was actually attacked from outside? You know, it was, you know, before, it was like in the 1800s. You know, there hasn't been any bloodshed on this soil that wasn't, you know, brother fighting brother. The Civil War was the last time there was actually, you know, a war on this particular soil. So, yeah, America can sit back and say, oh, well, if that happened here, shit ain't going to happen. And furthermore, that's really not how wars are going to be fought anymore anyway. It's a whole different day, baby. We're talking RC, remote control. We're talking drone. We're talking, we don't even need to have people do a thing. So that's a scarier thought. But
all your soldiers are flying drones right now. You know, they're doing, that's it. You know, as soon as they figure out how to put a robot with an M16 in his hand out there, then that's going to be the next step. You know what I mean?
Yeah, they kind of do. They kind of do already.
Right.
I mean, so you're right. But, yeah, still, for anyone innocent who had nothing to do with the political and the financial nature of this crap that's going on, I absolutely feel bad for them. You know, for the students who are trapped over there. And I think about that a lot. People are not prepared for the worst. We always say, if blah, blah, blah occurred, most people are nowhere near prepared. If your power went out for a week right now, you'd be screwed. If your water was cut off for a week, you know, so many people wouldn't know what to do. So imagine if you became locked in, martial law, you know, rolling blackouts. Do you know this country would roll back to the Stone Ages in about 2 weeks? And that's a known fact. So I think about what those people are going through. I feel terrible for them. I really do, for the ones who, you know, have nothing to do with it. But the masses have to suffer for the few to enjoy their, you know, the affluence. So.
And here's the latest from CNN as of about an hour and a half before our show started.
Okay.
They got U.S. and Britain and one other, I can't remember what the third country was, but they're all in agreement that Putin has violated the rules of war because he's supposed to be attacking strategic and military targets, and he's literally attacking civilians.
Right, anything, any and everything.
Capturing civilians. Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
So it's looking like, based on, like I said, the last report from CNN, an hour and a half before the show started, that the nation, the United Nations or whatever, are probably going to end up bringing him up on charges, and that's going to be a whole another thing. You know what I mean?
Yeah. That
because he's already in war mode. You see what I'm saying?
Right. Mm-hmm.
He's already
so the
he's
rules,
there.
The rules are, there
he's
are no
there
rules.
On site. He is parked 20 miles outside of the city that they're invading right now.
In theory,
he is physically there.
In theory,
and so he's
yeah.
in.
Most,
he's in.
I don't agree.
They said they have it's verified. They verified sources that he is sitting 20 miles outside the city.
I mean, I believe it. He's
himself.
A pretty ballsy dude. Yeah, he's
but,
a pretty arrogant,
you know,
ballsy dude.
So I mean, so I'm thinking, you know, it can get real nasty real fast because he's already, like I said, in war mode, and if the United Nations decide to bring him up on charges for war crimes,
right?
He's dumb enough to try to fight everybody. I'm just saying.
You have to think about it. My stepdad told me when I was a kid, you don't fear any man walking except a man with nothing to lose. Now, if you think about that, they don't care if they go, and they don't care who they take with them. So if you corner an animal, it's going to come out fighting. This guy has that mentality. He's not a runner. Therefore, he's absolutely, if that's the case, you know, he's going to go out like probably some of the rulers and dictators that came before him. If that's how, I don't think it'll come to that because obviously there are lots of groups in place to keep that from happening, getting to that level. Not to mention, enough people have nukes and things like that. You're either talking about eradicating everybody, decimating the Earth population, or you'll find a way to get just so far and pull back. And you have to think about all the countries that are involved, all the countries that have these weapons of mass destruction. It's not just Russia. It's not just America. I mean, you've got Korea. You've got China. You've got, you know, believe it or not, even smaller countries.
Everybody,
still
even tiny countries. Yeah.
Right. You don't know if you'll hear
totally
about them, but a lot of them are on the board.
Yeah.
They're playing in the game. So I don't think anybody wants to say we're all going to go, but I don't know. You know, I don't know what goes through a man's mind if he feels like, you know what, all bets are off. If I'm going, everybody's going. Think about it.
Right. But then, that's the part that concerns me because he's already showing that he's ready to go, and the fact that he is on the ground where the fighting's going on is a big thing. Big thing telling you he's ready, he's down to do whatever. And I'm telling you, if they come together to put these crimes against him and they come after him about it, I think this whole situation could turn real ugly real fast.
Well, now when I was talking this afternoon with a friend of mine, we were discussing that I don't think Russia was fully prepared for Ukraine to fight back like that. They expected to go push them around, and all of a sudden you want to bully them, and they started fighting back. It appears that the Russians weren't as prepared as maybe once thought. And they don't have food. They don't have water. So guess what? You can only fight as long as you're sustained. If they're not very well sustained, then they're probably...
They were talking about that very thing on CNN tonight.
Sure, and they were talking about
because they were showing videos of trucks, of their trucks broke down. They were showing videos
of
their train.
Yeah.
Their train, no, literally broken down, not just out of gas. They had vehicles that were broken down. They were showing their caravans and how they were moving, and explaining how that is not the worst way that a caravan is moving when in a wartime situation. And I mean, they were breaking their whole thing down, and they were completely saying that they really weren't prepared to go in there like that.
I think it's interesting because we know that there are so many weapons available, but because of treaties that have been struck and agreements that have been made, I think it's kind of, it's called an uneasy treaty, and that just means, you know, everybody agrees to it even though we don't like it. And that happens the world over. I mean, America and Russia, USSR, you know, think about the Cold War in the 80s. Same thing. That was an uneasy treaty. It's been like that for a long time. I think it's just interesting that you send in X amount of people, machinery and all that, ill-prepared to prove a point that's not proven, but they pull up just shy of utilizing real military force. Because, again, man, if everybody used real military force, like real, this would – see, that's when people say World War III. No, you have no idea. World War III would be in and done really quickly, and the end result would be catastrophic. So this is just and I'm not downplaying it, but it's more of a skirmish. It's like a disagreement on the playground. This ain't no all-out gang war. This ain't a brawl. This isn't – this is kind of a playground skirmish, and I'm not making light of it, but, I mean, if we're going to, you know, try to make it relatable, that's what happened. Mm-hmm. Putin was mad, sent in his brothers to try to fight. All of a sudden, Ukraine had a few more brothers and cousins, and here we are. Now you're thinking, oh, shit, we weren't ready for this. So I believe that, and I don't know what the end result's going to be. I hope that they say, okay, you know what, we'll back off and leave you alone, because you've proven that you've at least got heart. That's what I would like to see happen. But, you know, again, who am I? I think we all would, because nobody wants to see this. But I'll be honest with you guys. You know how countries make money? During war, during military. This is when countries make money.
Yep.
Has nothing. I know they want us to believe it's got to do with all these other principles. Bullshit. Money. That's really all it boils down to. There's something you've got. I want it, and I'm going to try to figure out a way to get it from you for free if I can. And if not, I'll strike a deal that's really unfair, but then I'll try to force your hand. That's what this is about. Mm-hmm. So, you know, much like the scenarios we just described and things like that, that's what this is all about. This has nothing to do with, you know, freedom of religion and practices and what side of the street to drive on, any of that shit. It's got to do with I see something of value over there, and I don't want to pay for it, but I want it. So, sad but true.
Oh, and here's another scary fact that they reported. Well, we'll say a supposed fact that CNN reported, that their sources tell them that the vast majority of Putin's military have only been active members for at most 2 years.
Interesting.
So not only did you send unprepared vehicles into a war, but you sent unprepared people into a war.
Just fodder, just numbers, you know. And you know what? I'm not surprised, because absolute power corrupts absolutely. It's the truth. And if you've got people and money and things like that at your disposal, you'll just throw it at whatever problem you have and you know, see what happens. It's, you know, sad but true. And so that's exactly what's going on, which means now you're going to be looking at, you know, maybe bringing this guy down from inside. That's usually what happens when you get someone who's in power who gets completely out of control. So there'll be something to go to. Hey, see, if Barry O was still around, he's sitting in SEAL Team 6 in 86 that day.
Right, but right. That's what's going to happen. And that's what's going to happen. I mean, at the end of the day, that's what's going to happen. When it gets really nasty and everybody's like, okay, he's doing too much. Once the United Nations say, okay, he's doing too much, what are we going to do about it? They're going to call John Rambo.
Right. That boy's going to come missing.
We're going to wake up one morning. Well, the war's over.
Yeah. They found Putin's ass in Salt Lake City. You know, he didn't become Mormon or some shit. You know. Don't fool around. he's a dealer at Harris now. He's working in the casino, because they got him up out of there. So
they gonna find him somewhere hiding, like they gonna be finding somewhere hiding like Saddam Hussein.
Shit, man, these drones, you're not hiding from anything, man. Damn, they can find you anywhere. They can find his ass in Narnia and shit. It's crazy. I tell you what. So, yeah, well, fingers crossed for everybody, you know. Don't come this way. I don't want my son to have to go back. That's all I really care about. I don't want anybody's, but, hey, you know what, I'm a little partial to my kid. Go figure. So,
of course.
you know.
Yeah, after me.
That part. One of the many, many reasons I didn't do so and didn't make it. So my hat's off to the people that do for whatever the reason. Brother wouldn't have made
it. Thank you,
Brother wouldn't have made it. What you know?
Crystal?
Yes.
We cannot
that
hear you,
thing.
Honey.
Yeah, that mute button.
We can't hear you.
She's like, damn it. Try something new. I got to be more careful.
It's all right. We just didn't have enough time to work out the bugs before we did it. That's all.
Hey, but your hair looks great. That's all that matters. When we can't hear you, just whip your hair and shit. That's all. Just keep doing that till we can hear you, girl. Give me some of this, do some of that.
Do like.
Yeah, right, man. Right. Is that Vidal Sassoon or Paul Mitchell? Just whip it till
that's
you can't right. hear you, girl.
We like you, though. We like you.
Emotions here.
When there is no hair in the face and you see somebody doing. No, there's no hair in the face. What are you doing?
I do that for y'all.
No.
With my head.
No, cannot hear you, baby.
Oh, that's what she did. She tried to put in some headphones to help to stop the feedback because her microphone is hearing. Her speakers are loud, and they're right next to her microphone. That's where the feedback was coming from. So she just.
So what's gonna happen?
She tried to help.
In time and in between.
She tries to help.
In time and in between.
She tried to help. She tried to help fix the problem. That's okay.
I know. Yeah, we're doing it for her end, too.
It definitely ain't the first show we had an audio issue. Yeah,
We hear you.
Yes.
Can you hear me?
Yes, yes.
Okay.
Uh-huh.
What I was saying is I'm sure based off of that we could all use a drink. So, George, roll Mimi's intro because she's got some drink for us.
Now it's time for Mimi's Fine Wine.
And we're going to always get away from that because it's Mimi's Fine Drink. Okay? She done escaped.
Hey,
she done graduated from.
I just ain't had time, but we're going to fix that.
Yes, and we done graduated, honey. We doing some things over here. So tonight, your girl, for all the losses, for all my people out there in Ukraine, and Simon Baby, and all the people that we have lost, I am taking one for all of them. So you guys need to join me on this one right here. Come on, Crystal. I know you got something over there. Oh, shit. Go ahead. Work it. So we're taking one for them.
Mm-hmm.
And that happens to be Besado Platinum. Beautiful bottle. Ain't that cute?
Yeah.
Besado Platinum Tequila.
Very nice.
So that was a nice little tequila shot, which that was just the shot. And the drink behind the shot is Grey Goose vodka with pineapple juice.
Yes, child, yes.
And that is how I'm spending my Wednesday night with my family, CB and the boys. That's what it is. So
she's going to be feeling good by the end of the show.
Heck yeah. Somebody about to be waking up.
Tequila shot.
Cheers, family. So that's where we at.
Right on. Okay. I'm right there with you. Drinking a little bit of the goose myself, girl.
Yay.
But you know what it is. That do say, baby.
Okay.
I didn't know you spoke Spanish, boy.
That came out nicely, didn't
yep.
it?
Yep.
Yeah.
I can say.
Got some of that dusty.
I was like, okay, there was an R in there.
That's the only word I can say. I can say taco, burrito.
Boys, you know what? Y'all killing me.
Santa Caligon.
And Rod, wow. What you over there? What you got over there, Roger?
Same as you, Mom. I'm sitting on the goose, but
okay.
I'm just mixing it with Sprite. I'm keeping it clear tonight. So, you know, a little goose, Sprite. I've got a bottle of water if I should need it. But you know, here we are. We rocking.
Come on, man. We got to stay hydrated.
Got to have a bottle of water. You know,
that's clear,
folks.
And I'm having a
Douce
A&W.
Okay, okay.
Man, I haven't seen that in years.
I forgot.
They better have that on the cruise. They better have it on the cruise. No, you don't never.
I was like, damn,
I
ain't got no coke.
I haven't seen coke in months.
You can stop and get the pop. It's just the other part of getting it on. But you know what? I got a trick or two on that too. We'll talk about it.
Well, I thought I had some coke in the house.
Okay.
I thought I had some coke, and then when I got home, I was like, damn, ain't no coke. Well, root beer.
But you definitely got some root beer.
Oh yeah. Hey, listen, that's real. That's real.
I wish it was the cream soda.
Boy, now that right there.
I drank all the cream soda though, so I had to settle for the root beer.
Fair enough. Well, cheers, everybody. Cheers.
Again. Cheers, everybody. Yeah. Even my girl, CB over there with her little water. Go ahead, Mama. Hydrate.
Hello.
While you glowing, hydrate.
Pitiful boy, y'all ain't got shit for poker faces, but I love it. That's cool.
We ain't seen that face in a minute, so something good happening over there.
I ain't in it. I'm too young for this conversation.
Handshake.
I'm too young for this conversation.
Handshake.
I don't want no trouble.
Ew. I love it.
Man, I'm sad.
All right.
What would you do?
All right, Roger, are we ready for sports and fitness? Roll it, George.
If you got some flabby and plenty of flam, then check this out. Roger's fitness tip of the week.
I feel like I should be running.
If you got some flabby and plenty of flam, then check this out. Roger's fitness tip of the week.
Okay, so are we loaded up, George? Before you roll it, are we loaded up?
Yeah, it's right there. You can click it. I can click it.
Okay.
We can all click it.
Okay, so before we get into this clip, like I said, you're gonna love the time lapse. But I know we've been talking about circuit type workouts and things like that. So I just wanted to go out and give you. I like to stay creative because some people find working out or doing anything like that monotonous, boring, a chore, it becomes another job, blah, blah, blah. We all want to look a certain way, but putting that work in is another thing. So here's just kind of one of the little routines I go through. It's abbreviated, and then I'm sure there may be a little Q&A when I get done, but suffice to say when you get done, you'll understand. I'm keeping myself moving, keeping my target heart rate going. I'm trying to do a total body workout, doing different exercises. And with that, go ahead and hit that for me, Mr. Holman, and we'll talk after.
Okay.
Warm up.
Yes.
Get it in.
Nice.
That was a pre-cruise thing right there, honey.
Yeah. You think I ain't?
Yeah. You gotta take off 15 so you can pack on 20. Yeah.
Say it again. I got it's a numbers game.
Yes, definitely.
I am a tiger.
We're trying to get total body.
Oh yes, that's a heck of a workout right there.
Yeah. Get those arms right. Back to the stairs. Boom.
You need the theme for Rocky playing in the background. That would be like everything.
Okay, I'll make sure to do that for you next time. So I got to give you guys technique. So I need to slow it down for you. So on a couple of these, technique. Check the technique.
What does that exercise really do right there? I guess we got to talk about that because I've seen the exercise. I've actually done it. And I don't know what it does. I just seen it.
You didn't do enough of it.
We've seen these before. Yeah. You were up there in that high thing out there on the sidewalk. I remember that.
Yeah.
I break
my joint when I'm not. That's ways to get around it.
CB, what you just said?
She said she break her
hip.
Oh, no.
I got something for everywhere. You can't tell me you can't do everything on your body.
But
I'll
then
find
when you
something.
Jump like that, your boobs would hit you in the face. At least mine would.
Well, if you got big boobs, well, then, yeah.
Or you can just hire yourself a little person to hold them for you. Or someone taller. Doesn't matter. All right, we're back. So really, really quickly, hopefully you got you know, understanding that I try to do total body. I mean, there are days we focus on whatever body part, but if you're like, look, I don't have a lot of time or a lot of days, something like that. Now, of course, in between there, so for instance, I run a lap in between each workout. I'll do a couple in the beginning, but I'm not going to show you that over and over and over again. So you can implement anything that you want multiple times. I don't do just one of those, obviously, but for the sake of time. So to answer Mimi's question about the explosion jumps, what does it work? It works your entire lower body. It's not just because if you know, and which is why I slowed it down. If you notice the full range of motion when you're doing that, you're activating your calves, your quads, you know, hamstrings, your glutes, everything. You're activating your entire lower body. And that's why it has to be explosive, because I guarantee if you do, you know, just a few sets, you'll feel the burn. I mean, I've been doing those for years.
Yeah.
And if I don't, it's still one of the few things that makes me burn up. It makes me feel it. So it's a very, very good thing. Now, to get to my sister CB, who was talking about jumping, everybody doesn't have the knees or, you know, the boob control or whatever to do as much explosion. I know how much those bras cost, baby. Trust me. My sister's, you know, got super big hoops. So it is what it is. But, you know, there are things you can do. With that being said, anything that you see me doing in a jumping motion can be done in more fluid stepping motion, yes. So, again, even on the benches or the step-ups, you can step up. Hold on to whatever you want to. Step up, full extension, come back down, exact same result. It's just a little less explosive. Therefore, the resistance may be a little less, but I guarantee you, add a couple of reps to it, same result. And I know my ladies love getting the legs right, being toned and all that. And trust me, we do too. I don't give a shit. My favorite outfit of yours is nothing but high heels. You're welcome. All of these exercises are going to help that stuff out. And then, of course, you saw, you know, the push-ups and the various, the dips and even the arm curls, the bicep work at the end. So we cover everything. We cover everything in a particular regimen. Running steps and things like that, cardio, keeps your heart right, so you're golden. My granddog. So, anyway, you got to love him. So, anyway, that's it for this week. Keep rocking with that. Do that a few times a week, and I guarantee you, you'll notice a change in everything. Your breathing gets better. Your endurance gets better. Everything gets better. You get firmer. You get, you know, more lean muscle mass coming in. It's just great, and it helps you with the boredom of being in a gym and things like that. I can find a workout for anywhere. As a matter of fact, I like the challenge when people go, hey, what about here? Give me a place, give me a challenge, I'll find you a workout. I guarantee you, you can't not work out with me. If you're like, I'm stuck in a hotel room, I got you. If you go, I'm on a ship, I got you. So I like that. I like that. Any questions? You know, I'll let your boy.
All right.
So, yep, you're right, Mimi, getting ready for the cruise. hey, listen, I got to do the same thing as everybody. I got to break it out, too. I might want to break my two-piece out, damn it. I don't know. Two-piece minus one. Real quick, jumping into, we're going from, you know, fitness to sports real quick. I'm not a huge basketball fan, but I follow things like anybody, and if it's newsworthy, I get into it. And I just want to bring up two things. A, you know, we just finished Black History Month, but it's Black History Year for me all the time, so I don't care about that. With that being said, a couple of things I wanted to address since it's been like basketball topics. One, I don't know if you guys know who Juwan Howard is, but I know we're old enough to remember the Fab Five, blah, blah, blah. Anyway, he was one of those guys. Played in the league for Washington and a couple other teams. Now he's a coach back at his alma mater of Michigan. got in a little bit of trouble a week or so ago. He acted very unprofessionally, and I think it's interesting because I got a lot of respect for the guy. I like the guy. I don't know. His team was losing, and it was kind of almost like a Hoosiers kind of a moment. They were losing to Wisconsin. At the end of the game, the other coach made some calls so that his other people that didn't get to play, his bench warmers and all that, could play. That pissed Juwan Howard off. I don't know what happened in the handshake line, things like that, but he flipped out and took a swing at the guy and things like that. Now, I have no idea what that gentleman said to him. I can imagine what he probably said, but we'll probably never know. Maybe. Mm-hmm. That being said, do I agree with what he did? No. It was unprofessional. Mm-hmm. And unfortunately, perception is reality, and he looked like every bit the bad guy. I'm sure there are three sides to every story, yours, mine, and the truth. But anyway, I think, and a lot of people are kind of calling for his head. The only thing I'm going to say is he got fined $10,000. He has to pay it. He got suspended for the rest of the season. The other coach that was involved got fined, but his university paid it for him and said, we don't think it's a coach, whatever his name is, fine. We think it's a Wisconsin fine, and they pulled that weight. And he gets to coach again. So, you know, it never stops. It never ceases, no matter where you are. We know what I'm talking about. So it just makes me smile. We have to be twice as good to get any of the same recognition. Because had that been someone else, let's go back to Bobby Knight back in the 70s and 80s. Bobby Knight was the biggest damn fool there was. Cussing, throwing chairs, hitting players, smacking people. Never happened.
Got away
Nothing
with all of
to.
It.
He was considered a legend, so he could be abused people. And so looking at that, I'm looking at black coaches, okay? Now, there's a young lady named I have to look her name up. I forgot just that quick. It leaves me. She played for Texas A&M. I think you guys know who I'm talking about. She got reprimanded and jumped on for being too damn sexy coaching a game. She was wearing pink leather pants. I guarantee if you Google it, you'll pull up her name. I don't want to disrespect the young lady, but good-looking young woman. And she was a baller. She won a national championship with Texas A&M. And so now she's a coach, and I think she even played a little pro ball, maybe still plays. But instead of looking at her record, everybody was saying, why is she dressed like that? Why should she look like that? Are you shitting me? Now, Pat Summitt, who was probably the best women's coach ever, just happened to be, you know, uglier than a mud fence and didn't dress worth a damn. And then you've got all kinds of coaches. Don Staley, who's one of my favorite people and athletes of all time, coaching. Another good-looking sister who's out there doing her thing. You know, they chose maybe not to wear what this young lady's wearing, but, I mean, she's out there on the court doing a very good job. She just happens to look damn good doing it. And they can't handle it. So they're giving her all the grief in the world. They're not looking at her championship, her record, her past achievements. And I'm just saying, listen, to all my black coaches out there, keep pushing, keep doing you. I'm proud of her because her name is Sydney Carter. Sydney Carter came to me. Yeah. So, Sydney, keep doing you, girl. And all of my coaches out there, keep doing what you do because the simple fact of the matter is if you've gotten that position, it's because you're capable, and they can't deny that any longer. And so just because you happen to be intelligent, know the game, a damn good athlete, and you fly as you want to be when you have the game, you know what? When people are uncomfortable, it's because we do something that makes them uncomfortable. You're that good, and you make it look effortless. So, you know, my rant today is on behalf of my black coaches, keep doing what you guys are doing. Juwan, professionalism needs to prevail, but, you know, otherwise, you still got my support, brother. And Sydney, girl, keep doing what you do. You can wear every damn color leather pants you want at every game. Shit, I don't even like basketball, and I'll watch your coach. and I'm out.
And if I may put in my little 5 cents, I want to say a huge shout-out to my favorite basketball team, college basketball team, Auburn Tigers. Whoop, whoop, whoop. They actually won tonight's game, 81-68 against Mississippi. So, yay.
Okay, right on.
And I'll leave it at that.
Go Auburn. Right on.
Go Auburn.
Joey, can we get a picture of Sydney and those two pools? She was looking delicious in that game. Yes, sir! I knew George had me. So y'all mad because she's reading those plays, handling those young ladies, and on top of that, girl, she looked like a bacon and egg sandwich, just delectable.
Right.
Tell me she's
What's
not.
The problem?
That was the problem. She looked great.
Right.
And she was handling her business, and she was being professional. And what's worse, no skin above the ankle, above the wrist. They hate it. But you can't deny what's just fantastic.
That's,
you
know
can't
what?
Deny.
That's discrimination. The thing about it is that they're just going against it because her body is just amazing.
Well, it's
you know,
always going to be
she
like
just
that.
She brought a lot of attention. That's a lot of juice. That's a lot of juice on a basketball court, you know?
It's uncomfortable to certain people because you can't relate to what you can't do or be or achieve or emulate. And so that's
right.
Really on the board. There's nothing unprofessional about that unless you want to say, well, she's wearing pink. Breast cancer. Well, she's wearing those pants. Look, I know a lot of people that would wear normal pants and make them look like that. But, well, again, being punished for a gift or a talent, things like that, we're used to it. So big ups, girl. Keep doing that. Matter of fact, shit, I got something on your next pair. Shit. I don't like basketball, but I'm a fan. High five, Sid. High five.
That's suddenly your favorite team, huh?
I don't even like Texas. I don't like shit about that state. But I'm like, you know what? I think I'm going to start watching the Aggies. Hey, I got a number one fan finger. Don't know shit about the team. Okay, I'm
it's
kidding.
All good.
I'm just serious.
All right. Well, with that said, let's take a pause for the calls for some station ID.
Let's do it.
Go.
We're calling it.
Woo! Okay.
I'm going to make you pop like that.
Hey everybody, let's get together and feel all right with CB and the Boys Radio Show. Join us every Wednesday for your midweek motivator, offering you music, conversation, motivation, laughter, and a whole lot of fun. What's up?
You know,
yo.
Okay,
first of all, you know,
hey,
I had
you
to
know,
say something about this because that was fire. What was up with the exorcism in the beginning? Those eyes, girl.
Right. I was like, I didn't know. I was half scared, half turned on. I'm like, should I go and check my, you know, I should go find my pistol. But at the same time, I wanted to touch myself. I don't know, girl. You had me nervous. You had me nervous.
I was like. Just to let other people know, we don't always know everything that's happening behind the scenes. So sometimes things take us for a little surprise, and that was
right.
Surprise
she got
right
to get to us too.
But let me tell you something. I guarantee you, she was a tad bit surprised too, because that's not exactly what she was expecting. She expected to see something, but not that. Exactly the way.
Oh,
it was.
So you over there? You the one over there getting killed?
I kind of modified it just a teeny bit. But
it's always the conductor.
Yes.
Drive you where you want to go.
You did a great job. I like how you did that.
Yeah, that was some fire
cool
for you.
All right. Look
yeah
at this.
I like how it started out. I love the fire one. It's,
yeah.
That one was fun to make. I enjoyed it.
Okay.
I bet it was. Yeah, I'm watching you, CB. You got a lot going on over there. I got a few that's going on over there in Arizona.
Right. Voguing and shit, all right. All right.
But with that said, take one moment here and pay the bills. Hold up.
Yeah, let's do it. Hey. I'm
because you can get a dozen eggs at any damn store. And you can, within 5 miles, I bet you can get a dozen eggs at 10 different stores within 5 miles, if not 20 different stores. But people select to go to that one store because they like dealing with the people at that store. You know what I'm saying? So listening to your customers is very important. Then I need everybody to learn two words, mediocrity and nepotism. The first, mediocrity, is how you run an organization, by recognizing, rewarding, and compensating based solely on the ability and achievement. And the second is how you don't run an organization, by playing favorites and being biased. And that one. Yep.
What's that? Okay.
Now, here's something else that's very important. You need to know when and when not to be transparent. Transparency is as detrimental as sometimes as it is beneficial at others. There are times to share openly and times to zip it. You need to know when and with whom to do one versus the other. And that's something that you're going to learn by experience. That's one of those situations. That's one of those situations where you say, "Damn, I shouldn't have said that."
Yeah.
I shouldn't have been that.
I think
that
we all have
person.
Those. We all have those moments.
I need that one back. Yeah. Never
right. Right.
It. Yeah.
Ay. When it's said, you can never unsay it. Once you see it,
right,
it can never
right.
be unseen. It just is what it is.
Right.
You know.
You know,
have you ever seen something and just be like, you know what, I wish I hadn't seen that, because now it's in your subconscious, you know?
Right. And that's the same type of deal, because,
right.
you know, there are some situations where there's some people you want to be transparent with, and then there's some people you don't, you know? Some people,
right.
everybody doesn't need to know everything.
Right.
But some people do need to know everything.
Yeah.
So that's what that's all about. Now here's one that I'm really, really a stickler about. Trust your gut. The phrase is often repeated but rarely understood.
Yeah.
It means that your own instincts are an extremely valuable decision-making tool.
Yeah.
Too often we end up saying, in retrospect and with regret, "Damn, I knew that was a bad idea."
Mm-hmm.
I've said
mm-hmm.
it before. Have you ever said it? You know.
Yeah.
But
I knew it, and I didn't trust me. Damn.
Right. But the key is to know how to access your instinct. Just sit, be quiet, and listen to yourself.
Mm-hmm.
Agreed. Mm.
Now,
and usually that's your first instinct.
Right. So protect and defend your intellectual property. Most of you don't know the difference between a copyright, a trademark, a trade secret, and a patent. That's not acceptable. If you don't protect and defend your IP, you will lose your only competitive advantage.
Mm-hmm.
Know your worth, basically.
Exactly.
I scream that all day, every day. Yes.
And here's another big one. Learn to read and write effective agreements.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
You know the expression, a good fence makes a good neighbor? It's the same in business. It's the same in business.
Look. I never heard that because I'm not a homeowner, but I have seen the repercussions of not having a good fence.
Of not having one, yes.
Exactly.
I've lived with it, yeah. That's funny but true.
Yes.
So far.
And with that being said, the more effective your agreements are, the better your business relationship will be.
Yes. And if you don't have a clue, get a good attorney that does so they can explain it to you.
That part. Because
exactly.
The hand is mightier than the sword. Mm-hmm. We can go on with cliches all day. They're true.
Exactly. Yeah. Exactly.
Yes. Mm-hmm.
We can. But that's facts right there.
And if you're not trusting your attorney, then do your due diligence and get the understanding.
Well,
because
get
at the end of the day.
Second opinions.
Get three
second opinions.
Right.
That's
if
right.
necessary.
Right.
So.
But I like that. I like that. So, yeah. So let me get this correct, George, Professor Holman. What you're saying is if you know your brand and understand your value, you know, you're a lot more likely to succeed and not get taken advantage of. Because it sounds like, you know, obviously if you're not aware of what you've got, somebody's going to come along and help relieve you of it.
Exactly. <That's> exactly.
Yes.
For lack of better terms, exactly.
Okay, absolutely. But that's not
right.
It's all true, man. I mean, you can't say that enough.
Right.
That's information you can't put out there enough.
Right.
Because I think most people do. Most people tend to have good ideas, which I think everybody on the planet has at least, you know, a fistful of good ideas in their lifetime. But why do you think so many people never see that idea all the way to fruition, all the way into a realization, a product or a building or an invention? Because of all the things you just named, they're coming up painfully
right.
short. You don't have the right
exactly.
people in your corner, the right legal team, the right information base, and you don't trust yourself.
Right.
We want someone to tell us so badly, hey, you got this, you're great. Now let me go do all the work, and then I'll let you reap the reward. That is not the real world, my friend. And I know
exactly.
people think like this. I mean, I've had people say that to me. I'll give you the money, you go do it, and then are you out of your mind? They're like, I'll give you my part. You go make us rich, and then come back to me. Are you, Jesus Christ, man. But.
Right,
that's,
get the fuck out of here.
Right, come and work all day for you. All
right,
you got it. So, yeah, man, believe in it. Yeah.
Okay.
So, with that said, I just got a few more left right quick here. One thing, run your business like a business, okay? Far too many entrepreneurs run their business like an extension of their own personal finances. Bad idea.
Mm-hmm.
Very bad idea.
Mm-hmm.
Construct the right business entity and keep it safe from your personal life. Period. Ain't nothing else you can say about that. Now, know your finances inside and out. If you don't know your revenues, your expenses, your capital requirements, your profits, gross and net, your debt, your cash flow, your effective tax rate, among other things, you're asking for trouble, big trouble. So it means you got to dig in the paperwork, got to look at it, you got to read it, you got to know it, know where everything's going. And then, lastly, everyone's got to remember, you don't know what you don't know. Let me say that again. You don't know what you don't know. Does that make sense?
Yeah, absolutely.
You know your trade, but if there's something about your trade you don't know, guess what? You don't know that you don't know it.
Well, you better find out.
Does that make sense?
Yeah.
Right.
So with that being said, humility is a powerful trait for leaders. And that goes for new business owners, veteran CEOs, Fortune 500 companies, and everyone in between. More times than not, you will come to regret thinking you knew all the answers.
Right. Yeah. You can learn from anyone, any day.
Yep, Exactly. So, with that being said, in closing, behind every failed company are dysfunctional, delusional, or incompetent business leaders. Irony is, none of them had the slightest idea that that was true at the time. Even sadder, most of them still don't.
Then that's not a business leader.
Don't end up
that's,
like that.
I want to do business, but I don't know what I'm doing. No. Wow.
Yeah.
That's so true.
There you have it.
But it's funny that it's written like that. So, boom. For people out there that are trying to, you know, figure it out, don't make that same mistake and assume it's all of your subordinates, because it's easy to be management, ownership, or whatever and go, all of my workers are idiots. Well, A, you hired all of those idiots if that's true, and B, what is
right.
the common denominator? You. But
you.
How many people do you know
exactly.
will own up to that? How many people will own up to the fact that, yeah, I'm a terrible leader? Nobody. says no one ever, I'm bad at this.
Right,
like you said,
right.
it's an extension of their personal
because
life.
Because you did this, you think you have all the answers, but no,
right.
everybody doesn't have all the answers. You know what I mean? Most business owners and entrepreneurs don't have all the answers unless they've been doing that business successfully for 50 years. You probably don't have all the answers. Right. Not been running it for 50 years, but been doing it successfully for 50 years. You probably
yeah.
still don't have all the answers. But
sure.
you might have most of the answers. You probably got 95% of the answers. Still ain't got all
There's always
the
something
answers.
New kicking in, though.
Always something new.
Absolutely. Well, all right. So I'll make a note of that.
Yeah.
All these people.
Exactly. That new thing.
Sis.
That mute thing.
I can't hear you, sis.
That mute thing. It'll be all right.
Thank you so much, George. Those are some really, really good tips.
Yes,
yep,
they were.
Up again. Sorry. Yeah, very helpful. So I'm sure our listeners and our viewers are definitely going to be enriched by that information. Well, there's only one good film that's opening Friday, and that is the long-awaited The Batman, starring Robert Pattinson, who is playing a young Bruce Wayne. So I know that everyone was wondering why he was cast, being that Bruce Wayne is of an older gentleman. But this is a young Bruce Wayne, and he is in the movie is set where he is in his second year of being Batman. Crime fighting. So it's really good. And it's interesting to see how Robert Pattinson navigates his way through this role. And to me, I really think he did a really good job. I was really surprised, like really surprised. Because, you know, knowing that he is, you know, a British actor, there are no indications of his British accent whatsoever. He did a really great American accent. And he did a good job. And Zoe Kravitz did a great job as Selina Kyle, who, if you guys don't know, you know, if you're not familiar with the Batman, and this is the DC universe, Selina Kyle is a Catwoman. But she did a really good job as Catwoman. The Kit would be proud. Halle Berry would definitely be proud. She did him justice, so.
Yeah.
She did really good. It's a good film. Again, it's set where, you know, it's a young Batman, so keep that in mind. And the special effects are great. The soundtrack is interesting, but it sticks, you know, to the story and everything. So it's a good film. So I recommend everyone go see The Batman on Friday, March 4th. It opens in all theaters, so check it out. It's a long-awaited film. We've waited long enough for it, so definitely check it out. Enjoy.
Okay.
And then
okay.
shout out to my Outlander family. After a long droughtlander that we have endured, Outlander comes back Sunday, January, Sunday, March 6th. So everybody, if you love Outlander, check it out. It's a great, great, great show. It comes on the Starz channel. So shout out to all my Outlander family there. So enjoy, enjoy. So our hot topic tonight, what if everything you knew about relationships up until now was wrong? Would you be devastated? What do you think you know about relationships? What have you guys learned about relationships?
Well, that's really like a trick question and an open-ended question at the same time, because everything I've learned may not be everything he learned, and it may not be everything she learned, because our relationships weren't the same.
Right.
So specifically, what do you think people tend to think they know and then find out down the road, you know what I mean, that's different? Because what George is saying, I understand about the blanket question, the blanket thing, but what are we talking about in particular? Just about the nature of how they're supposed to flow, the pecking order, whose responsibility is this over here, whose responsibility is that over there? You know, give us a little bit to chew on. What are you thinking?
All of that.
Well, basically, just like, just to piggyback off of what George said, that is basically the burning question. Not only is it the burning question, but it's also the answer. Because everyone's experience is different. So what you went through, I might not go through. And you being married, I definitely haven't gone through it because I've never been married. So suffice to say, it's going to be different. You're going to get several different answers for that particular question. Now, how people react to things is also a difference. It's also somebody's state of mind. If they're weak, if they're strong, if they've had good experiences in relationships as opposed to having bad experiences, how they, you know, came up as a child, were they traumatized by what they saw in relationships? Were they privy to abusive relationships, or have they, you know, witnessed a longevity marriage where 50 years down the line they're still together, still in love, still doing lovey-dovey things? So it's going to be different for everyone. So really, there's no right or wrong answer in that. And then usually I come up with dictionary definitions. And really, there is nothing that can be explained as far as that, because it's going to be different for everyone. So I can start off with my experience with relationships. I'm still single, so that should give you all the information you need to know about my experiences with relationships. They don't last, but it's so funny because I'm friends with all of my exes, even my baby daddy. You know, I ain't never been with a baddie. I got too much PTSD from my baby daddy.
Okay, so there's a question. I've heard people say that though. Well, I just want to know. When people say I'm friends with all of my exes, I will say I'm friendly, but even if I wasn't married and things like that, I'm not going to be friends, quote unquote friends, unless there's benefits. That's real. I'm talking to you as a man and as a gentleman who's got things to do. I don't have time to foster all these extraneous relationships just to say I've got. Some people just want to have that good record, you know, to their credit. You know, I'm friends with all of them. I can do no. I promise you, I don't want to be friends if we're not if we're not doing the rest. There's no need for it. But I'm asking you, what is the purpose of being friends with all them? And friends is a term people use way too loosely, in my opinion. That's another story. But why are you friends with them if you don't really have an interpersonal relationship, i.e. your baby's daddy? We're not going to get into that. That's your personal life, but we know that it didn't go and end the greatest. So your children are grown. Why are you still friends with them? I mean, what purpose does it serve? I mean, you trying to earn your wings by your way into heaven? What the fuck? Talk to me.
Okay, by friends, when it pertains to my exes, by friends I mean that we're cordial. If we see each other on the street, you know, it's going to be, hi, how are you? But as far as like calling you up, let's reminisce, let's, you know, be nostalgic and take it back. No, once I'm done, I'm done. I have this uncanny thing. Once I'm done with you, I'm done with you. You know, if you did something to wrong me, I forgive you, but I'm done with you. So, in other words, if you were flailing around on the ground on fire, I wouldn't kiss on you to put you out. But I would say hello to you in the street.
So you're friendly. Okay, you're friendly because you're not, you're done, you're over it, which means that's closure. That's a great thing. I was just curious because I have to ask, because when people use the term friends, I'm like, do y'all hang out? Are y'all cool? You know, da-da-da-da-da.
Oh, no.
But that's
an
issue.
I'm done. I'm
okay,
done.
Okay.
You know, and for me, it takes a lot to take me to that place where I'm, like, totally done, where I wouldn't kiss on
But I have been there and seen that type of relationship.
And, you know, it takes a lot to get me to that spot. You know,
because
me and Aries, we're just naturally sweet people, and we get along with everyone because Aries are wonderful.
Yeah,
I've never met one that I don't like because I just...
Yeah, I've seen that situation.
I
got an example.
So,
I got an example of that situation because it was pretty funny.
Well, since both of y'all and
y'all
family run your face.
Well, it's funny. So my ex-wife, when she was my wife, my best friend at that time was her ex-boyfriend.
That is so weird to me.
Ew.
Right.
Ew.
No, my brother-in-law did that. Literally.
And I mean, it was crazy. I mean, like, we'd be at the bars, going to go to the bar and throw darts. We threw darts a lot. We're big dart fans.
Right,
so we'd be at the bar, and we'd meet people.
I'd be like,
we had this running joke that we'd do all the time. We'd meet people, and we'd say, I'd be like, well, this is my wife. And he would be like, yeah, that's my ex-girlfriend. And then we'd both be like, but it's okay because neither one of us like her. You know, that was our running joke.
Fair enough. That's kind of like poetic justice. And when Tone Loc and Tupac had the same baby mother, that's cool. And here's what I'll say. If it was serious for one of you guys but not serious for the other, I guess it's weird. It's a weird thing to me. But, again, I know I do things that are
it
probably
It was weird
down
to me, and I was in it.
What happened to the guys?
It was weird to me, and I was in that
don't
situation.
Don't smash the homies. Like, that's kind of like smashing the homies.
No.
Your wife, kaboom.
No, but that's not. But no, they dated before. Matter of fact, I met him through her, and we became best friends. You see what I'm saying? It was like we wasn't best friends.
That changes
we
the whole
best
dynamic.
Friends, and then,
so okay.
Yeah,
okay,
we
okay.
wasn't best friends,
you,
and then he.
So you snatched her. Because you don't deal with folks telling you no. So you walked into that.
They had been done long before we met. Their relationship was done and over long before we met.
But they were still
friends because he was like the only father that her daughter knew.
Okay.
You know what I'm saying? So they still were close because of that aspect. You see what I'm saying?
I think if people truly are done, if they're like, look, it's over, but it's okay. If no one person is bitter or losing their mind, I do think that's a good thing because you know what? children have the amazing ability to make people step out of their comfort zone to do things they wouldn't normally do just on their behalf. So big ups to him for doing that, and I mean all you guys. So I get that. I think for me it's weird because I can't see like being friends with somebody, and I have friends and acquaintances that have done it. Someone, a friend, a close friend, breaks up with someone, and you write. First of all, I just can't piggyback one of my boys. No. It's just, it ain't. I can't do it. Like, you know, my ego won't let me.
Right,
it's like, you've been there. I ain't trying to go there. That's just my ego.
Yeah. That's broke.
I'm cool,
right,
my
there,
guy.
Though.
I'm cool.
And
that's
I was going to say that. There is a code with women. It's like I could not see myself dating anybody that any of my girls have dated. I don't give a shit if they liked each other in kindergarten. There's just a code about that shit that I'm not.
Oh yeah,
serious.
Yeah. Let me ask you guys this because I've had fun with this before, and it's more everybody, but the ladies in particular, because what Mimi just said, that code is so crazy. So for guys, if you don't pick right. If it's a group of girls, 3, 4, 5, and you pick the wrong one, even if y'all don't work out, you burned up with the rest. You don't get a shot. So my question is, what happens if you start dating someone, you really like this someone, and then you only find out later that, like, way back when, he and one of your girls kind of hooked up or had nothing to it, would you then break it off, especially knowing you dig this person, or would you be like, yo, you lucky that happened back then and I didn't know about it sooner? Because the heart wants what it wants, and you're not just going to stop. But what do you do? What do you do?
That's a really interesting question.
Right.
Like you said.
Yeah, look
what,
on her face like she's been down that road
right.
before.
Right. Well, no, you see, what you don't know, you don't know. Right, sure. But once you find out,
you know,
it becomes something different. Like, okay, so I'm gonna speak about a very, very interesting situation that happened to me a couple years ago. I started dating somebody,
mm-hmm.
really, really nice guy from the islands. This is my thing. I've always said I'm not gonna date anybody from the islands because I'm just not gonna do it. Like, I'm not ever going back there. Fuck island man, all this shit. Okay, he's from the islands. He's real cool. We're all hanging out. He's all beautiful. We went out on a date. After the date, I find out, because he was like, damn, I got something that I need to tell you, and it might change everything, but I need to let you know before we go further, because this is just something you need to know. I was like, all right, cool. Talk to me.
Yeah.
So this is somebody that had dated my older brother's wife while they was married. He was a student at the school that she was a teacher at.
Hey, he's my hero. Fuck that. He's
I
my
know.
Hero. High five, my guy. High five, my dude.
He was a student. He was a student. She was a teacher. She was married to my older brother, and he was banging.
I mean, sorry to your brother,
and
but
know,
my dude.
Yo, so this is the thing. I had to kind of, like, walk away from it, and we remained friends, because at the end of the day, you were with my ex.
I said, damn. He got the brother's wife.
You were
and
like
the sister.
One of the causes, like one of the biggest breakups, and that was my brother. So check this out.
Right.
We're gonna be homies and
Fair enough. Yeah. Cause
and
you
so
couldn't bring
I
him
to that.
No dinner. You can't come to family gatherings,
no.
none of this shit. Yeah,
you,
for
no.
sure, for sure.
But wait a minute, what's the
no,
chance
you,
of
you,
that?
You can't
how
come
did
to
you
nothing.
How did you meet
she
him and not know that already?
No, I didn't know that already because I had already left the Virgin Islands. My brother had gotten married to her. I had not even been to their wedding. So I had not even known that she was messy like that. I always had her at the restaurant. My brother was crazy. He messed it up. Hey, you did it. And then I find out she was the loose one. So that was one of those things. And then when I found out from him, I was like, God, she was really nasty, messy, loose. And I was like, and for me to be like, I'm dating you, like, nah, no. You know, even though her and I don't have the best relationship, it doesn't matter. It's just a whole thing, the whole family
right.
thing, the island thing. The islands are small. You don't do that, you know, and I left it alone. But I feel the same way, and that's why I'm island man. I'm where I need to be right now, bottom line. But I really believe in the whole friend thing, like, you know what I'm saying? If you know, this is my girl and one of her ex-dudes from kindergarten liked her and he's trying to talk to me today, 50 years later, 45 years later, it ain't happening. Because it's like, damn, yeah, like y'all had some kind of chemical history in your head.
I think there, interesting because I think for men, and I mean, I don't mean to speak for all men, but I know a lot of the stuff we say is generalized. For men, time makes a difference and the severity of the relationship makes a difference. So, for instance, we call it bumping heads. Y'all probably do, too. If you end up messing with somebody and you realize one of your partners did back in the day, you bump heads. You're like, ah, damn, I didn't know, you know, JR did. So, But the difference is, how serious is it? I don't know that I could, you know, I don't know how serious I could be if I know, okay, you were with this cat or these cats back in the day. But
right.
if you, like you said, if you get to a certain level and you already in there, that's a tough one to pull back if it's not family. It just happens to be that way. But I feel like people that don't share that information are setting themselves up for letdown. Like, how can you do
yes.
that? And then you got to, like, I used to have a rule back in the day. Don't introduce me. Don't have me shake anybody's hand without knowing everything I need to know about that individual. You know what the hell I'm talking about. Because if I find out later, I'm trying to be cool with this cat and I find out some shit, you out of here. I mean, you might as well say it up front. Let me make a decision, and then we go from there. That way I get to make a choice whether I want to hang out, be here, or not be involved. But if you walk me into something, you don't get a second chance. So I think we all kind of look at that in terms of, like, are you bumping heads? Are you being messy now? I'm going to be honest with you. For dudes, if she's just a jump off, we don't give a shit. We'll be like, hey, here, take his number because I'm done. That's just how guys are, unless it's somebody important. Whatever.
No. I get it. No, I get it. That's okay. Just be nasty. It's okay.
You're welcome. You're welcome. Because here's the thing. All that practice is what makes perfect when it comes time to get
yes.
to be a grown man and tear
yes.
your damn mouth out. Oh, don't even worry about all that
yes.
shit that happened back then. It doesn't count. It's a double standard. CB, what have you learned? Because obviously, you know, you're the brainchild behind this. What have you learned that has thrown you off that you thought you knew but that you don't know at our particular age?
Yeah, I got to go back to that question once she answers her question because that's
okay,
I was just
sure.
looking at the question myself just now, like, I really need to answer that shit. But, yeah, go ahead, Mama.
What you got?
Well, I mean, I learned a lot. You have to take into consideration that I was raised an only child, so I didn't have to do anything. So what really threw me off is, like, just being in the world on my own and learning how to do things on my own that I should have been made to do as a kid. Like, one thing I found is that it's important to have boundaries and that all kids want boundaries, even though we may rebel, bitch, complain. But we like those boundaries because it's a signal or a just affirmation from your parents that they give a shit, you know, that they
structure.
Care.
Structure, yeah.
Yeah, mm-hmm. yeah, structure, that's what I'm looking for. And I really didn't have to do anything if I didn't want to. And I think it's made me a spoiled brat on some level where, like, if I don't get my way, I'm, like, thrown off, like, what? I actually
that's
heard
what
no.
Saying.
What?
But it's me. It's me. Look at George. Look at George. Shut up. Just shut up and be quiet there.
I concur.
But for me, that
I concur.
Would definitely be. But for me.
Okay.
But for me,
Mimi,
you know.
Yeah, go ahead. Go ahead.
Oh,
I have a question for you guys. I have a question for you ladies. Go ahead.
But for me, definitely that would be, you know, just realizing that everything isn't going to be handed to you. Mm-hmm. And even though, you know, we to some extent already know that, but just to experience, you know, hearing no and, oh, I'm sorry, we can't do that, or no, that's not going to work. You know, I wasn't accustomed to hearing no. You know, when I grew up, you know, as a kid, I didn't hear no much because I was a sweet kid and I always tried to be pleasing to everybody and fitting in and doing whatever I needed to do. So I didn't make waves. And now that I'm older and soon to be older and older, because, you know, this is my birthday month. Let's just throw that out there. But just forget that you hear that, because we're not going to celebrate it. We're not going to acknowledge it, because I'm not ready
did,
to walk through the door of this next stage.
But for me,
that would be the one thing that's thrown me off. Just realizing that it's you, that only you can pull yourself up. Only you can pull yourself out of things. And I like to think that sometimes we go through tough times just so we can inspire others, you know, to give them that, well, if I can, you can type encouragement, because it's important, you know, to know that if I can do it, you can do it, you know.
Right.
And so that for me would be the biggest thing that I've learned, is that, you know, only you can fix you, only you can, you know, do what you need to do, only you can. And that for me was a tough one, because I was used to my mom, my grandma, and my dad doing for me. So to be thrust out here alone, having to do it all on me, and everything, you know, falls on me, that's different. And then when you become a parent, it's even worse, because you have, you know, two little people that are depending on you, and you don't know what the hell you're doing. So, you know, twins are crying, I'm crying. It's like the blind leading the blind. So it's, it's been an adventure. Life is an adventure, for sure. Of unexpected twists and turns. But I'm still here, so.
No doubt. Okay. That's interesting. So I appreciate, you know, I love your candor. I love when you admit things, just it's just in your nature, I guess, but you admit things that a lot of women don't admit. And I've said this before, and I'll probably say it again, the vast majority, don't know how to work for a relationship. And like you just said, you're used to being given and catered to and things like that. And this is our doing. This is men's doing, because we utilize that as a tool. We pander to whatever in your direction, your needs, your wants, your desires, and you're used to that. Why wouldn't you be? So it's not me pointing the finger of blame. It's just us speaking your truth. Most ladies don't know how to put the work in until they're in the situation, and then it comes as a slap in the face. And it's nothing insulting. It just means it takes two parts to make a whole. And so when you find yourself in a bad situation, it's usually because you, and by you I mean people, don't know what your part is supposed to be. So like you said, especially if you grow up, you know, if you're attractive or you're you know, you're popular, whatever, you don't have to do shit, because we're simple. We are some simple sons of bitches. And so we know what we want, and we're going to do whatever it takes to get that, and therefore we make your job non-existent. I can't even say easy, non-existent. And so I think you're right. It's interesting that so many ladies get to a certain point in adulthood and go, I really don't know which way to turn. I didn't expect this, especially if you find yourself out of your first relationship or your first love or your children's kid, your father rather, or your marriage. And then you go, I'm out here in the wind by myself. What do I do? Now, it's plenty of clueless-ass men, but we don't have enough time to get into us. I'm talking about y'all. The truth really is that what we are told by our parents, oftentimes it's just that. It's like a story. And so when you realize the work that it involves, I think sometimes we're thrown off by it. And then therefore we go, this isn't what the storybooks or my parents or whatever told me. They said it was going to be wonderful and lovely if I only did this. And when this doesn't make it happen, we don't have an answer. You don't have that silver bullet in your holster. And I think that's interesting. And so, I think if we're hearing you correctly, what you're saying is that was kind of the issue. You were led to believe life was easy in that respect, streets of gold, just be you, and everything was going to work out. And then lo and behold, some hard head comes along and goes, yeah, that's great, you're fantastic, but that shit still ain't going to make me act right. And then you go, what do I do? What's my answer?
See, and that's the crazy thing about it, because I don't know if all that, you know, it's like it kind of like worked both ways, because I like the fact that it's like, you know, I grew up at home, I was spoiled, you know, I saw this was that, and then I get out here and it wasn't planned out to be that. And it's kind of like the same way when you grow up in a home where you see your mom getting dragged around, you know, by your dad at a very tender age, like 5 years old, and you're looking at all these fights and all this shit, and you're like, is this how this is it? It's the fighting thing.
Right.
So now I find myself in karate classes, fighting with my brothers, being the tomboy, you know what I'm saying, having the fights with the neighborhood boys, and, like, you know, she's
that,
stupid, but
that's normal.
Ask her because, you know, she wants to fight, you know, and then you get out in relationships, and you're thinking, okay, well, you know, the fighting is the thing. If he's going to fight
normal.
Me, I'm going to jump up on the bed, and I'm going WWF on his ass, and I was that. You know, I became that until I got my ass whooped a couple times. And I wound up in the hospital. I'm pregnant. And I got nurses going, Mimi, this guy is going to kill you. Like, you've been in the hospital like 5 times in a 9-month pregnancy period. Like, what are you, you know what I'm saying? And then I found myself going to the islands and being with, I went from a thug to a cop. And they were both crazy. And I was like, this is supposed to be it. Like, is this it? So it was kind of like the same crazy thing until, you know, shit happened and then somebody wore a bullet. And I was just like, okay, I kind of like got away from this because I didn't do time. I didn't get charged. Everything was acquitted. I'm okay. But this is not okay. This is where life changes around. It's like now I have 2 beautiful kids, 2 bad relationships. I could have been in jail for the rest of my life or prison because I done snapped. You know, I am that snap story. You know, and I have to change things around. Like, wait a minute, it's not about fighting and arguing and pointing the finger and wanting to kill somebody, because my mother was that. But she was that because of what she had gone through. So the wheel was doing this. You know, so what I thought was right, I thought that fighting was okay, and it's not, you know.
Right.
Then I'm thinking being so good that you just allow people to do anything out of you was also bad. So there was a lot of bad things that happened in your life because it's an ongoing learning process. This is not something that you just like, okay, it's this or it's that, and I deal with it. No. Every relationship brings something different. You learn something different from everything. And at the end of the day, you just have to gather the things that are good and just move on with your life, because people also come broken and jacked up. And they're throwing all their shit on you. And you have to know, as the person who's trying to fix their shit and move ahead, now you got somebody dropping their load off on you. It's like, wait a minute, no. Let me show you what I learned, and then I'm going to leave you, and I'm going forward and let you get this shit on your own, because you really want to attack me now for being the good person. You know? So it's a learning process, you know?
See, I don't know. I, believe it or not, have never been in a situation like that, but I also think it's because of my choosing. Now, here's the thing. I was raised by single women. I did live with my stepdad for 4 or 5 years before both of my parents passed. I've had 3 or 4 parents pass, but it was interesting because I went from my mom and my my stepdad was around from like 9 to 14. They both passed. I lived with my grandmother, who was my other mother, single parent until I went to college and moved out. So I only really know about being raised by a single parent, a matriarch. I never saw a relationship really good or bad. My stepdad loved and doted on my mother. That's all I saw. He did whatever it took to please her. But I never saw the other part of it. I just kind of developed on my own what I did and didn't like, what I would and wouldn't tolerate. I don't tolerate jealousy. I don't tolerate possessiveness.
Yes.
Like I have no room for it. It's a turnoff.
Yes.
And I dated one young lady in like 10th grade. And when I saw her act up one time, I said to myself at 16, I'll never deal with this again. And so I made it a point to let anyone I was involved with know that you're one and done. I'm not a 3-strike dude, because I just I don't like it in so many ways. Now, what I think is interesting is I try to be as, you know, open to listening as I can. And as I got older, what I think I like and appreciate is, you know, in the people that I dated. And even now, I've always made a point to be like, listen, I like to enjoy myself and have a good time. I'm not a jealous person, but I also realize that it takes 2 people to make each other secure. You can be as secure as you want to be unless someone does something to deliberately make you insecure.
Yes.
If you are secure with someone, You can have a ball. Mm-hmm. I like, there's a game, listen, the game I love to play is if you go out, you make sure that you and your respective partner, you're dressed, you look great, you do what you do. Do you know, I could give less than a damn who approaches my woman. I could give less than a damn who offers to buy her a drink. All I ever say is, if you're not drinking, please get a Jack and Coke because that's what I'm drinking. Stay over there and talk, entertain everything. Here's why. Because if that man can say anything that will make you change your mind about your current situation, you are free to go. And I've said that to any and everybody since I was Elise in my early 20s. I mean that. And it's not about being a dick. It's about you're going to entertain yourself. Listen, and we talked about this a couple weeks ago. If a man ain't looking at your woman, you need another woman. I need everybody in there to turn their head if you walk on me. God damn it, I look good when I'm coming in. I'm throwing on the dog.
Yes.
And so, and like I said, and if nobody else, I will smack myself on the ass and get my own phone number. So that being said, if you with your woman and you know your woman is fly, let everybody acknowledge what you already know. There's no disrespect. Don't touch her. Don't get in her 3-foot bubble. Other than that, make your commentary, say what you say, spit your game, shoot your shot. Listen, you know, we from the Midwest. Everybody want to buy some wings and fries at the end of the night and buy drinks. All I need you to do, if you feel a certain way, is point over there. I wear this mean mug like a fucking six shooter, and then we ain't got no problem. But go talk. I've been next to my woman when a dude was throwing game. And I told y'all this. I was like, my dude had some fantastic game. My nigga was throwing rap. And then at the end, he was like, well, your man let your shoe like, nah, he cool. She was like, where is she? She was like, boom, right there. He freaked out. I'm like, my dude, don't go nowhere. I was like, dog, what you just said, that shit was fire. Because her key fits my door. If her key fits my door or my car or anything, if we drove together, we're leaving together, if he can say something that's going to make you leave, you're free to go. He did me a favor because you're not mine. It was great, though, because it was an older friend. They hadn't seen each other in a long time. I knew he had a thing for it. I said, listen, every so-called man friend you got likes you and wants to holler. We are not meant to just be your friend unless we choose men. We have to choose to be your friend, not y'all, us. Because you can put us in a friend zone, but if I don't want to just be your friend, I'm not going to be in a relationship. I can't handle it. Because that ain't how God created us. He created us to be partners. I will accept your friendship if I can't do anything else, and I want you. But understand. And so I think the weirdest thing about me is I'm like, I feel like I must be sometimes an anomaly because it doesn't bug me. But I only depend on one person to keep the code up, and that's the person that I'm dealing with. Look, men are going to be men. We can't help it. We stand up and go pee every morning. That's the first. We don't say good morning to y'all ass. We don't look at you. We don't do shit. We get up and go pee. George, am I lying? No, sir. Okay. All I'm saying is we do this.
Sometimes it be hard and you don't have to pee. And if it's hard and you don't have to pee, it's my duty.
We can talk about that, too, though, because guess what? Once you get that REM state, see, I'm going to tell you something. Your body processes concentration as arousal. I understand that.
What if everything you thought you know about relationships is wrong? I just answered it.
Wow.
Yeah, you kind of did. I thought he had to pee, and he didn't, but shit.
And if he don't have to pee, then it's my duty to make sure that, you know, that don't be up.
Y'all ain't camping, so don't pitch tents. I understand. You show up that way, girl. We ain't camping. I ain't mad at you. Let the church say.
I understand. You got to leave the house empty. Anyway.
Oh, that's there's a myth, but we'll talk about that another day.
That's not a myth. Well, okay, there's a part of that that is. We're going to leave that alone. That is something funny.
I'm about to say, I've been a man the majority of my life, last time I checked, so anyway.
Yeah, that's as far as you can remember.
Yeah, as far as I can remember, you know what I'm saying, but we'll talk about it.
I don't even believe that. But anyway, go ahead.
Right. But the thing is, I think we've all come to the conclusion that it's not the straight and narrow that was taught and preached to us. Because, like, for me, it's not about being nonchalant or not caring. It's about having a certain level of understanding. If you understand the human nature, then you understand that people are fallible. Here's what I tell anybody. If you don't want anything like that to happen, this is myself and anybody. We've all done it. We've all been victim to leak. If I can see daylight in a door, if there's a crack in the window, I can get in. I don't care how small of a sliver. So if you leave a crack in your door and somebody can get an eye through there, somebody can get a toe in the door, they can kick that bitch in, which means if you don't want anybody to have a shot at your man or your woman, don't leave a crack in the door. Don't open it. Don't let that little motherfucking chain be on there. Don't leave a crack in the door. If you don't do that, you can have all kinds of fun out and about. There's no need for jealousy, envy. Listen, there's only a few things. There's only so many things people can promise you more of. If you're not materialistic, look, I'm going to be straight up with you. The only thing one man can give you that another man can't give you is more money, a bigger house, more dick, and more whatever. And if none of that makes a difference to you as you claim, then there's nothing that you can do other than stay with where you are unless he can give you more security. And by security, mm-hmm. that could come in the form of knowing where he is, not worrying about what he's doing or who he's doing it with. There's a finite amount of things in the world that can be offered. Now, if you like tall men, don't date a short guy. If you like men who have a dad bod, then don't date a bodybuilder because he's a rock. If you like dark skin, don't date light skin. Don't sabotage yourself. But if you're walking out looking for an upgrade, men, women, that means you deliberately you're not off the market. You're really not. You're looking for an upgrade, and you're with someone for now. You need to know who right. you're dealing with. If you don't know who you're dealing with, so what I've learned is you have to make sure, and it takes a long time to really know someone. You have to make sure because I think we've been brought up to think that women are perfect. You don't do anything wrong. You're super loyal. You're super this, you're super that. I'm not saying that you're not a lot of those things by nature, but guess what? It's a lot of ancient people on both sides of this fence. It's not just us. We get the blame. But it's not just us. And you just proved that, Mimi, when you said your brother's ex-wife was doing XYZ. I promise you, there's about the population of the earth is about 51% to 49% women than men. There's more women on this planet. And if you think that only 10% of women are not good and the whole 50% of men, you're out of your damn mind. Because, like I said, a lot of us are proof positive that, you know, that shit works both ways.
Yeah.
So I guess that's what I've learned is, you know, it goes back to the old adage, don't judge a book by its cover, because those you think won't will, and those you think will won't. You can look right at somebody and be like, oh, yeah, that's a lock, and it's not. And then you can look at somebody and be like, never in a million years, and guess what happens? You get that confirmation. So it just really comes down to, like I said, what are you okay with, I think. It's just people are people. I don't judge people because judge not lest you be judged, but I don't really give a shit. If it doesn't hurt me or mine, I don't care what you do. But I have learned to just let people be who they are and show you who they are. So I don't allow right. myself to get disappointed. You know what I mean?
That's good stuff. Hold that thought. We got to pay the bills.
Pay bills.
Join us every Wednesday for your midweek motivator, offering you conversation, motivation, music, laughter, and a whole lot of fun. So tune in. Let's talk. Join us as we take things up and talk things out. CB and the boys. Join us for your midweek motivation. See ya.
All right, and we are back in time to say goodbye.
Everybody, it's been real. It's been fun. It's been real fun. But sadly, our time is done this week. So go ahead and say your goodbyes, and I'll be back.
One love. God bless. You guys already know next week is next week, and see you guys next week.
That was prophetic.
Alrighty. But with that being said, let me throw it out there. Stevie and the Boys, first annual cruise, 5 weeks away. Everybody, those on Big O that got tickets and all other people that's going, everybody that's going, now is check-in time. So you got you need to download the app. You need to check in. So now is check-in time. So if you're confused about that, give a Royal Caribbean. They'll explain it to you on the website. Now check in. Peace, love, and hair grease.
With that being said, you know I love you. Holler at y'all next time. See you on the flip side.
Yay.
All right, everyone. Thank you so much for rocking with us tonight. You've been listening to CB and the Boys. We come to you every Wednesday for your midweek motivator. Hopefully you got motivation, conversation, music, laughter, and a whole lot of fun. We'll be back next week, same time, same station. So do look forward to that. Shout out to everyone who has given us their love and support. You know, we celebrated our 2-year anniversary in February. So moving forward, we're going to be bringing you guys more, 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 and more. So that being said, thank you so much for joining us, and we will be back next week. So everyone, enjoy the rest of your week. And as George said, you know, if you're coming with us on the cruise, make sure you check in, make sure you do what you need to do, because it's getting down to crunch time, and we want to see all of your beautiful faces. And we look forward to meeting you. So definitely, if you're going on the cruise, make sure you do what you need to do to make that happen. Anyway, thank you so much for rocking with us tonight. And to take us home, as always, my favorite group and yours, BTS. And here's their collaboration with Coldplay and Universe to take us out. We will see you guys. Bye-bye.
When the morning comes, I watch you rise. There's a paradise that couldn't capture that bright infinity inside your eyes. 매일 밤 내게 날아가 꿈이란 것도 믿은 채 나 웃으며 너를 만나. Never ending forever, baby.
girl 너는 내 별이자 나의 호주니까 지금 이 시련도 결국엔 잠시니까 너는 언제까지나 지금처럼 밝게만 빛나줘 우리는 너로 따라 이긴 밤을 수놓고
너와 함께 날아가 When I'm without you I'm crazy 자 어서 내 손을 잡아 We are made of each other baby